Okay, we are back. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through Genesis. So I'm going to pick up here where we left off. And Lot said to them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." In other words, I'm accustomed to city living, and I don't know what I'll do in the wilderness and the mountain. "And behold, there is a city near thee, near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one, that my soul shall live?" And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then Yahuwah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahuwah out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before Yahuwah, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land. So when they're fleeing, and he said, "Don't look back," well, obviously his wife looked back, and she became as a pillar of salt. She died instantly. And, you know, there's an illustration there for us. And it's like Yeshua said, when you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. Because when you look back, it's easy to get drawn back, especially when you first put your hand to the plow. The world continually beckons, and our former life of disobedience continually beckons. And the less we have invested in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, that investment comes with times and years and decades. And the longer we trod, the longer we plow our way to the kingdom or into His kingdom, the harder it is to turn back. They can tempt us. You know, it's like Peter said, "Where would I go?" Because when Yeshua asked him, "Will you leave also?" Because he said some things that were pretty hard. He turned and he said, "Will you leave also?" And Peter said, "Where would we go? You have the words of life." You know, that's my response. Why would I turn back? Where else would I go? You know, I mean, these atheists constantly trying to convince me that the Bible is just a book of fables. You know, what do they have that's more attractive than eternal life? You know, where would I go? You know, where are they going? You know, they're going nowhere. You know, they're just gonna die. You know, I'm on the road to life. Why would I give that up? For what? For a little pleasure? For sin? For a season? I have way too much invested. And where would I go? But she looked back. So when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Just keep looking forward. Keep your eye on the prize. And the longer you do it, the easier it'll be. And when your past beckons to you, it's way, way back there. It's way back there. And it becomes fainter and fainter. You can still hear it beckoning. You could still turn around and cross back over the border. But keep your eye on the prize. And the longer you do that, the easier it becomes, the harder it becomes to take your eye off that prize of eternal life. You don't want to lose it. That's the prize. That's what you've been running for all these years. And just keep adding year upon year and decade upon decade. He who endures till the end shall be saved. So he says to Lot, Hasty escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then Yahuwah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yahuwah out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. And now I have to make another comment because of another accusation that is continually made against Yahuwah, the God of the Old Testament, that Jehovah God. And I hear it over and over, how that evil God of the Hebrew people, and a lot of these people bring this accusation. Some of them think that Jesus was okay, but that Old Testament God, he was different, that he was evil, because he killed them all. Men, women, and children. The babies, you know, the children, and the ungodly, and especially, you know, the liberal abortion believers, those that, you know, you got men out there and women, and to their own condemnation, they support abortion. Though they've never done it themselves. Why would someone choose to bring a sin upon their own head and be responsible for it, even though they've never done it themselves? But they do. And then there's those that a woman should have a right to choose to kill her own child in the womb, to murder the life of another one. But yet somehow that Old Testament God, you know, that Jesus and all that Bible, that's just, you know, they're holding our Creator to the same standard that they hold men. Because to bring that accusation, when they allow men to kill each other, when they allow men and women to murder the life of a child in the womb, or they could just bring the accusation that, you know, when any of us die, isn't that the same thing as our Heavenly Father allowing a child to be murdered in the womb? Maybe it's his fault because he brought the child, you know, he made the child come to the womb. Say the accusation can go further. But, you know, isn't it, what about a child who dies, like I had a child die recently in the womb? It wasn't an abortion because my wife and my child died. When she died, the child died with her. So is he a murderer because he takes the life of anyone in their prime? Or why even limit it to a child or a young woman or a teenager? Why not anyone dying at any age? Why isn't that murder? Why isn't he accused of murder all the way that he allows anyone to die? Because he is the giver of life, and it's up to him. And it shouldn't be up to us, because when it's up to us that someone dies, then it's either murder, one, which it is in most instances, or it's war, which springs out of sin, which sprang out of disobedience in the fall. This war is the effect of sin. Or it could be in obedience, the command to capital punishment for murder. Now, we have no right to bring an accusation. And even when he told the children of Israel to go in and slaughter and kill every man, woman, and child, that was Yahuwah. That was the Creator executing judgment by the hand of his people. And he has a right to do that. We don't have the right to do that unless he has commanded it. And when he commanded the children of Israel to do it, obedience required that they do it. That doesn't make him a murderer. That makes him who he is, God, Creator of the universe. And every soul will be righteously judged, no matter what the circumstance of their birth or their death or the age of their death. He will judge everyone righteously. That's who he is. And that's his position. And that's what I believe, because that's what I read in his word. He will judge everyone righteously. Everyone that is murdered, killed, dies in war, dies in the womb, dies of disease at the hand of other men poisoning, murder, abortion, it doesn't matter how they die when it comes to his judgment, because he will judge everyone with a righteous judgment. There are a lot of people say, well, unless they confess, you know, that the ignorant people that died and never confessed, they're going to be condemned to hell forever. You know, well, good for them. You know, I'm glad that they have placed themselves in that high position of making that judgment. But I can't do that. I can believe that there is a little old lady who is a Mormon and really has faith because she really doesn't know about the cult and the Luciferian worship and doctrine that the church that she's in belongs to, that she loves her Heavenly Father and she loves her neighbors herself. Yes, her doctrine may be a little messed up, but she really believes that the Messiah died for her sins. Will she be justified? Yeah, I believe there's an instance where someone could be a Mormon and be justified because our Father, our Heavenly Father, judges the heart. He judges righteously. From whom little is given, little will be required. From whom much is given, much will be required. So everyone is going to be judged according to what they have, to what they have received. He is righteous, and he will judge righteously every circumstance and everyone individually. We all stand before him on our own two feet. Chapter 19, verse 27. Abraham. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before Yahuwah. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. You know, Lot's sons-in-laws, they thought he was mad. Lot resisted leaving. He didn't want to go. It was very hard for him to leave his home and everything he had worked for in his life and what he was accustomed to. He had a choice of all the land, but he chose to go into the city and to dwell with the unbelievers there. And the cost, the price was severe. You know, I don't believe Lot prayed and said, which way do you want me to go, Heavenly Father? Even a righteous man can make a poor decision and pay a dear price for that. And we see that demonstrated throughout the scripture over and over again. Lot, David, and many other righteous that made poor decisions. Adam and Eve, the first couple, poor decision. Solomon, was he? A lot of people believe that Adam and Eve are in hell. A lot of people believe that Solomon is in hell. But no, I don't. I believe they made very poor decisions. And they paid a very dear price for what, in the flesh, for what they did. Because sin has consequences. They were chastised in the flesh. David was chastised in the flesh. The nation Israel was chastised in the flesh. We all receive in our flesh the due compensation for our disobedience. That's another reason why it pays to be obedient and to live a life of obedience. And even if you do, bad things can happen to good people too. I mean, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, and that means not only the rain, but the earthquakes and the floods and all of the tempest of nature happens to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. And a lot of times the righteous are warned to get up and go. You know, it happened to me the other day. I was warned, but I ignored it. When I turned down a certain street, something said to me, you shouldn't have turned down that street. You should have gone the other way. Well, you know what I should have done? I should have obeyed that intuition in my head, and I should have turned around and went the other way. But I had a small lesson. I learned a small lesson. I was involved in a little accident where someone stopped suddenly because someone jumped out into the street, and I needed about 6 inches of the space that their vehicle was occupying to stop. And, you know what happened. It was not a big deal. No one was hurt. And we both got a little dense. My vehicle was crunched a little bit, and so was theirs. But I need to learn to listen. You know, something on another plane, you know, in another realm told me to turn around, but I didn't listen. So we need to become sensitive. We need to learn to become sensitive. And if I had turned around, nothing would have happened. And so those are the hardest lessons to learn. Even when we're obedient, nothing happens because we don't know what didn't happen. It's only when we don't listen that we find out. So there's a little lesson for obedience to when we get those messages in our spirit from that other realm. They come to us, and sometimes while we think they're just only our minds, you know, maybe we ought to say, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I need to listen, and then I won't know what didn't happen, because I would have rather it didn't happen, what I know. But anyway, so I'll bet you that somehow Lot was, you know, but he went for what was more comfortable. He went for what was more pleasing to the eyes. He didn't pray and say, Heavenly Father, you know, your servant Abraham, my uncle, has said, you choose this way, I'll go that way. You go that way, I'll go this way. Which way should I choose? You know, and he would have got the answer. He would have never ended up in Sodom. So perhaps there's something there to learn. And you all know what I'm talking about, how you felt a warning. You had an intuition that you shouldn't go this way or that way, and you did, and then you found out why. And if you hadn't found out why, you would have never known anything, and you would have forgot all about it. You know, so maybe what I need to do is learn to listen to the intuition when it comes and give thanks for it, for what I don't know. To give thanks for what I don't know. And there's so much to get that I do know that I can give thanks for at the same time. So, and there have been times that I have listened and given thanks, but there's a few times that I don't listen, because I have it set in my mind to go a certain way. And you can see that in Lot too. He has it set in his mind to go a certain way, and he went a certain way, and it didn't work. And it's, you know, just like this, you know, he says, go escape to the mountains. He's sending Lot and his daughters and his wife to the mountains. Perhaps if he had just gone, if he hadn't argued, perhaps his wife wouldn't have turned around. Perhaps good things would have happened instead of what was going to happen, you know. Perhaps he would have avoided what he didn't come to know. Okay, it came to pass, let's see, where were we now? Abraham, it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst and overthrew of the overthrow when he threw the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zeor and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters. He went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. So he went, and he left the city anyway. You know, and perhaps, who knows? Okay. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. So, and perhaps he feared to dwell there because of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, that feared the men of that city, and they probably feared him, because he would have what he might happen to them, seeing that he was the only one to escape alive, and his two daughters. And they dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may perceive seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not. And she lay down, when she lay down, or when she arose. And it came to pass in the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with our father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. The younger rose, and they lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son, and called his name Moab, the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bore a son, called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of Ammon to this day. So we have the Moabites and the Ammonites that came out of the daughters of Lot, and the grandsons of Lot, the sons, the grandsons of Lot. So we have here daughters love their father. And with good intention, you know, going about it the wrong way. What should they have done? They should have prayed. They should have went to their father. They should have turned to the Lord. But you see here, again, the influence of Sodom and Gomorrah on the judgment not only of Lot and Lot's wife and his sons, I mean his daughters and his sons-in-laws, and he himself gonna toss his daughters out. You know, that would have been worse than what they did, seeing that there was no law given against that what is came to be called incest, because incest couldn't be lawful at the beginning, because you only had Adam and Eve and the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of Adam and Eve, so they had to marry their cousins, and they were genetically, you know, perfect, and the mutations, well, they began immediately. As we know, there's mutations in every generation. And today, well, we're way far away from the... So anyway, though that wasn't unlawful, but still there was that... We saw modesty in the sons of Noah being demonstrated there. And, you know, they should have prayed. And Lot, if he would have entreated, and he would have went to Yahuwah, and he would have said, there are no kinsmen for my daughters, but you can see that he made a bad decision before with his other daughters who went into their sons-in-laws who were of Sodom. And if he had called upon the name of Yahuwah, he would have sent him to his kinsmen, to Abraham, for husbands for his daughters. So you see the effect of sin on the judgment of even the righteous. So Lot remained righteous, and he was called righteous Lot further in the Word of God. So though they had lacked judgment, they remained, or he remained, in the camp of the righteous. So his grandsons, his sons, became the fathers of the Ammonites and the Moabites. So we get to chapter 12. And we're about to run out of time. So, in the few minutes left, we'll pick up in chapter 20, not chapter 12, when we get back next time. So do join me. And if you haven't crossed the border into the kingdom of Yahuwah and the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, please do. Cross the border and live forever. There's nothing more important in this life that you obtain the prize, eternal life, through the promised Redeemer, Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah.